Where to begin? Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, started a series on emotions. And then 2 weeks ago, we talked about emotions again. We're continuing that discussion. 2 weeks ago, I talked about how emotions communicate value. Our emotions show us those things that we value, and also that our emotions are mixed, that it's never a pure, unadulterated strand, that it's always a lot of different things coming at us. This evening, I want to talk about the concept that emotions are physical, and the concept that right emotions ought to be cultivated. So I want to discuss both of those concepts. But if I ask the question, what do we mean when we say, I just saw the blood drain from someone's face? What does that mean? What does that mean? Okay, they turn white. What is that? Okay, maybe they're going to get sick. Or pass out. Right?
They realize something scary.
They might have realized something scary.
Either way, it affected their emotions.
Okay? What's interesting is that a lot of times that kind of phrase is used when someone is presented with a concept, and that concept produces a physiological reaction. Is that fair? This is tough stuff, right? Emotions are not for the faint of heart. When I had the chance to go with the police department here in town to the last death notification, and so we showed up at somebody's house, this particular person had died, that we were sharing about, had died on a hunting trip in Colorado. And we were sharing this news with his sister. And so we knock on the door, and she opened up the door, and she sees two uniformed officers and a guy with a polo that says chaplain on it. And the blood drained from her face. And they said, there's no easy way to tell you this. Are you a relative of, and gave the name of the guy. And she goes, that's my brother. She started to tear up. And the officer said he passed away, in Colorado. And then she broke down, right? But the physiological reaction happened because of the emotion. Is that fair? Right? What changed physically in her body? I mean, nothing, except that her emotions got involved. So when we think of emotions, okay, and this is one of the reasons that emotions become so tough for us, right? Because emotions, there's often this response that's there, and it's physical. And part of what I think is good for us to realize is that this is not bad. This, in fact, is good. In fact, it's what God has created us to have. And emotions are difficult, and so they cause us many times to shy away from them in one way or another. They also cause us to view them from a negative standpoint because a lot of times, maybe not a lot of times, but certainly at times, they're motivated out of wrong desires. And so our emotions then, we are very afraid of because they might be manifestations of sin. And so we want to stay away from that as much as possible. But it's good for us to realize that emotions by themselves are not sin, even though there are physical reactions that occur. And of course, this happens in a lot of different ways. I shared the story about, that. Okay, so I had the chance to preach at chapel down at Faith Baptist Bible College. This is bizarre, right? I preach to you folks all the time. So I go down to preach at Faith. And it's relatively the same number of people. And I'm standing there talking to the, you know, the eyes and the gal who set everything up. And I'm waiting for Dr. Tillotson to show up. And I start sweating. I mean, just like sweating. And I'm like, I don't think I'm nervous, but I'm sweating and I can't stop it. So I finally excuse myself. I go to the bathroom. I like mop myself off. And I come out and I'm trying to pretend like nothing's wrong. And it's like, oh, there's Dr. Heron. I'm talking to him. There's Tillotson. So I'm talking to Dr. Jim. And and I start sweating again. And I'm like, I got to go mop myself off again. This is ridiculous. And was I nervous? I guess. I mean, I it's not like I was like panicky in my mind, but it's like I had this physiological reaction. What caused it? It wasn't hot. It was nerves, right? It was just nerves. And so once I started preaching and I got my mind off it, everything was fine. And half the campus converted. No, I'm just kidding. They never asked me back again. They said, you sweat a lot. That's gross. why did that happen? My emotions, right? My emotions. You know, they were involved. Is it good? Is it bad? Well, it is, right? It is. Those things occur. And if something happens to us physically, sometimes then we respond emotionally too, right? So imagine something happened in a physical manner, and then your emotions kick in. Okay, let me give you an example. It's the middle of the night. You go down for the proverbial glass of milk, or you're getting up in the morning and you're making your way through the house. And as you're shuffling your way through and you can't quite see anything, and bam, you hit your toe, the pinky toe, on the chair. And you're like, oh, that hurts so bad. It's like, why is the chair there? And it's like, the kids, I told them, don't leave the chair there. And I think I broke my pinky toe. How did this happen? It hurts so bad. And it's like the emotions are engaged. And it's like, the kids, I'm going to kill the kid. And it's like, why did my emotion kick in? You know, if I had seen that without stubbing my toe, would I have had the same response? The kids, the chair. No, right? I'd have been like, hey, next time move your chair in. Or I might not even do it and just move the chair in, right? Because we don't always move the chair in. It's just life is. But that emotion kicks in when there's sometimes a physical thing too, right? Okay, so why are we talking about all this? Well, honestly, I think we're talking about this because we're humans, and part of our human makeup is our emotions. And our emotions play a huge role in how we process life and even in how we process sin and righteousness. So there's all kinds of these types of things, and those are negative, but there's also positive. Can your body affect your emotions in a positive manner? So if you have the right amount of sleep, and if your belly is full, not too full, right? And if you're healthy, you're not like hurting. Some of you say, boy, I'd like to find that day again. And, you know, everything seems to be going well physically, and suddenly your emotions, you know, maybe even come to church and your worship is like worshipful. Why? Because everything's clicking, right? Everything's feeling good. And it's like, okay, my emotions have kicked in. And so, healthy bodies tend to amplify healthy worship, right? Is that a good thing? Yeah, I think it's a really good thing. And so it's really easy for us to view our bodies and our emotions as negative, almost as if we would be better off without them. But in truth, they're exactly what God has designed. And they're really important for us. That he has made us before sin to have this mix between the intellect, our thinking, the emotions, right, and our will. And he's designed us to have those pieces that, you know, interweave together. And it's crucial for that to be there. And we're intended to use all of that to bring glory to God. Okay, I had you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we can look at verse number 12. And I recognize that this passage is talking not so much, it's talking specifically about sexual things, right? But what I want us to do is focus on the body aspect of this, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Food is meant for the stomach for food. God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And so he's tying this specifically to how the Corinthians were viewing their bodies and sexuality. But yet what he's doing is he's emphasizing the importance of God using our physical body. The body is meant for the Lord. And he talks here, he continues on, verse 14, and God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Now that's an interesting phrase, right? Because he's talking very physically. And he says, your bodies are members of Christ. Shall I then take the members of Christ, make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it's written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Therefore, we could say, verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. I added therefore. But that's what he's saying, right? Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You're not your own. You are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And it's very, very physical. Right? This is not theory. This is not imagery. He's talking physically. He's saying use your body physically in a way that brings glory to God. And I would say that should include our emotions. He's talking here specifically about sex. But it should include our emotions. How we use our emotions should be done to the glory of God. Now it's possible that you would say, I have never thought about using my emotions for the glory of God other than staying away from them, trying to bottle them up. You know, the world has a lot of ways to handle emotions. One of them is to pour them out. One of them is to stifle. And we don't have time in this message to consider those and to see whether there's value in it. But my point is that it's really crucial for us to understand that our emotions are physical and they're actually really good that way. Because our emotions are physical and because our physical can affect our emotions, it's also true that our bodies might trip out. You know, you might have the blue screen of death. They might go haywire. They might not act properly. And I think it's good for us to understand when that's occurring. What do I mean by that? Fear is an emotion, and it's intended to catapult us into action, right? And that's a good thing. In other words, fear has a physiological response, and that's a good thing. So I still remember I am not as in touch with my emotions as my wife is, right? I tend to bottle things up a little bit more than she does. And I tend to try to be more even keel, and that has strengths and weaknesses. But I still remember when our niece, Jalen, was missing from the house in Missouri, and my wife was in, you know, close to panic mode, and I'm in, like, everything's fine. And she thought she saw something down in the dock, and she took off running. And me, in all my wisdom, walked swiftly down there. And Heather got there to see her go under the water and pulled her out. And it's like, okay, the fear that she felt catapulted her into action, and it would have been good if I would have had a little more of that fear. Because Jalen might have drowned if it was left up to me. Now, thankfully, the Lord's in control of these things. not Steve or Heather. And so he, you know, he had a plan, and he can be trusted. But yet from a standpoint of what it's intended to do, that was good, right? That's a proper response. But our body sometimes might have a different response. Have you heard of PTSD? Which there is no actual problem, and yet there's a trigger where the body screws up and says there's an issue here, and we need to respond physiologically. And bam, it happens. And there is no actual problem. There's no problem. They're just thinking back. And it's like, okay, is that wrong? Is right? It's a thing, right? It happens because our bodies have been trained that way. And so understanding some of those things and recognizing, okay, that's just a malfunction of my physical body, I think helps to begin to try to address it. Not as if that's a spiritual issue, but as my body has been trained to respond a certain way, and I can work to try to train it differently, right? So that it begins to pull back away from that improper response. Perhaps our bodies react too slowly. That's reacting too quickly, right? Perhaps it might react too slowly, like emotional shock. So maybe you hear about somebody whose spouse dies and immediately, in a surprising way, and immediately after that, the spouse who is alive just seems to handle everything super well, and they, like, you know, take care of all the details of the funeral, and they, like, barely shed a tear, and they, like, you know, work everything out. They go to work, you know, the day after the funeral, and then 9 months later, they collapse in a mess. And it's like, what happened? You know, how did that occur? It's like, well, the body misfired, right? Their emotions reacted too slowly. And we see that a little bit in smaller doses, right? Where it's like, you get news and you go into like this emotional shock. and then it takes a little while, you process, and then you get hit by the emotions, right? And it's like, okay, the problem isn't the emotions. The problem is, you know, how our body might be handling it. Or it could be the duration is off. It's too long or too short. Fear or anger that lingers too long or that isn't long enough. And all of these things, you know, point to this concept that our emotions are physical and that the physical also, you know, influences the emotions. They're all quite normal, right? Unless we see that they're abnormal, and then we begin to understand more about how to deal with it, you know, by God's grace. What I want us to understand, and what I think is important for us to understand, is that these emotions are actually created by God, and that they're intended for us to understand and to seek to interact with them well. Okay, so let me give you an example, and perhaps this is way too soon, right? But I can't help it. But we had one of our pets die, little Carmel, our cat. Carmel passed away. And so Carmel, you know, was too short on planet Earth. 2 months. 2 months. Can you get connected to a pet in 2 months? Well, is that? It's a cat. So we had a beautiful funeral service for our cat. And we buried the cat in the backyard. It's a thing of beauty. And it was painful, and it was hard, and there were tears, and there was loss. Isn't that crazy? But it was there. It was there. It was real. And then I look at Carmel's counterpart, Callie, who should have been more connected to Carmel than we were. Because Callie grew up with Carmel. I mean, they, like, did everything together. They were never apart. They were, like, bosom buddies. And do you think Callie at any point demonstrated remorse for Carmel's passing? I think Callie loved Carmel. They spent time together and enjoyed each other's company, as far as I could tell. They wrestled together all the time. They were, like, little buddies together. But she seems completely fine. And never once did I see her moping about. I did not see her collapse into tears. Yeah, give her 9 months. What is that? Give her 9 months and then it'll kick in. Right, Callie will finally, it'll finally hit. She's just, it's slow. The reality is, I'm not even sure Callie has thought about it, because she's not an emotional being. She's a cat. But we are. And we were designed that way. And it's really, really good. Okay, so here's the thing. Sometimes, as humans, we think, it'd be better if I didn't have emotions. If I could be like Callie. How horrific. And it really would be. I mean, it would be. Okay, let's do this. Make a horror film and put as the central character somebody who has no emotions. And you've got genuine horror. Because the things that they would do would be shocking, right? Would be shocking. And I'm pointing out that we were made with these emotions. And it's crucial for turning our hearts towards the right things. In Bible class, we're going through 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings. And we looked at Solomon. We looked at 1 Kings chapter 11. Where it said Solomon started to marry foreign women. And he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And then it said his heart was turned towards his wives. And it's like, why did he stop loving God? And it's because he loved his wives too much. Or we could say women in general. Too much. I mean, honestly, that was the issue, right? And the book of 1st, 2nd Kings makes that clear over and over again. How crucial are emotions to our right living? Hey, what's the greatest commandment? Love God. And love others. Is that emotional? Yeah. Big time. So emotions are crucial in this. And for us to be able to understand that and think through it and seek to apply our emotions in the right way, I think is an essential part of being wise Christians. We're out of time, and so we'll stop there. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the chance to just think this through and wrestle with these concepts and to try to scour your word to see, to understand how you designed us in such a way that we would be able to respond rightly to the world around us, that we would love the right things. Father, I pray that you would give us your perspective of that. And Lord, we freely admit that we do not understand everything about our bodies, about even our emotional state. But Lord, we desire to let your word lead us. And so we just ask that you would continue to guide us into that truth and give us wisdom as we pursue it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.